another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today we're in central London and we're about to link up with a man who's best known for radio. Formerly a musician, so rhythm is in his blood. He spent the last few years at the Capital Breakfast Show with Roman Kemp, but more recently, the host of The Lake Show, having taken over from Martin Humes. It's Sonny J.
Hello.
Sonny, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you didn't say I have a face for radio. Because that would have been one hell of a start.
That would not be the vibe, would it?
It wouldn't, no.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. I reckon you've got a face for TV and a voice for radio.
Stop it.
Yeah. Well, you know, do like to make all of our guests feel
good at the beginning.
Extremely welcome.
Nice. Yeah, make them feel good at the beginning. Tear them down slowly throughout the walk.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, we're not about that.
No, we're not.
This podcast is all about inspiring our listeners to walk and, most importantly, Walking and talking.
Yeah.
What a vibe. So you know London pretty well. Are you much of a walker?
Do you know what? I think I am more now. I think I'm terrible. I would drive everywhere. I grew up in Essex, so you had to have a car to travel. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those things, if you wanted to go to the cinema, you can't just walk like you can in London and go, no. I'm going to go watch a film. It would be, I have to drive to an Odeon to go watch a film. So I think growing up, I've always just driven, which is lazy, which says a lot, actually. And now, obviously, I'm a bit more health conscious and all that sort of stuff. I think I find myself, you know, questioning whether I should drive somewhere. So I question whether I should drive to my local supermarket.
And let's just put it out there, you've just driven right into central London, but the one benefit to your job is you work in central and you know where all of the parking spaces are.
Yes.
Please, after this podcast, can you divulge that information?
Well, no, purely because if I tell everyone, then they're all going to park there. I won't be able to park anywhere myself. Can't give away the secrets.
I don't drive at all in town because the stress of parking, it's just not worth it. So,
yeah.
But let's get into the start of your journey. How does a lad from Essex end up hosting on one of the, if not the biggest radio shows in the country?
Yeah, well, it depends where you actually want me to start, because we can start from, I guess, 18 years old, leaving college and going into a band, meeting my bandmates at college, or we can go a bit before that where my mum sent me to stage school.
Stage school.
Okay, so when I was younger, my mum let me try loads of different things to see what I'd enjoy.
Good mum.
My brother loved football. I hated it, which is so weird because I love watching football. I just still hate playing it. I hate the competition of it, which I know that you would probably love.
No? Actually, interesting fact about me.
Really?
Not uber competitive, unless I'm up against you for comic relief.
I was gonna say.
All-stars basketball.
Fine, okay.
Which is where we met last year.
We did, we absolutely did. Now, yeah, so my mum sent me to stage school and I ended up just loving it. I think I just really enjoyed the sort of the creativity of it, and you know, when you go to drama class and you're improvising and you're just, I don't know, I think I sort of found myself there and I found a lot of friends at stage school. I ended up like auditioning for TV adverts that I've done in the past. I did like, I was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang when I was younger. A couple of West End shows here and there, but it was as a child and I always felt like it never really counted. But when I look back now, I'm like, actually, I feel like every part of, you know, my childhood and sort of getting to where I am now has been because of that. So, yeah, obviously did that. Then when I left school, I went to a performing arts college, which was the same one that I ended up going to stage school. And I ended up meeting two boys there called Tay and Eddie, and we hated dancing. Absolutely hated it. So we were the only guys that were there that sort of used to skip all the dance auditions and all that sort of stuff. And we ended up writing a song together called Lovesick, and we put it up online and we ended up getting approached by a producer at Britain's Got Talent that said, would you love to come on to the show and sort of, you know, see where you can get? And we were like, yeah, great. Only if we can sing our own songs, which had never been done before on X Factor or Britain's Got Talent or anything like that.
I didn't know that.
So we, I would like to say, were the sort of pioneers that year in 2012 for people going on to these sort of talent shows and singing their own songs. Because then after that on X Factor, it was obviously Lucy Spraggan that year and like that sort of stuff. You had James Arthur as well. So yeah, we sort of did that, ended up coming off of there, signed to Simon Cowell's company, Psycho, released a single, got top 10, did all that. And then we got dropped by them, and then we were like, oh, okay, this is weird, I don't know what to do now. So then we thought we would sort of fund our own record label at the time to just sort of pursue this dream that we all had of having an album together. And then once we had our album out, we were like, right, we'll just call it a day now. Like, we've had fun. There's no point in like funding it even more and losing loads of money from it. Let's just call it a day and shake hands and just sort of be proud of what we've achieved.
That's freaking cool. Like, celebrate that moment and move on. I think that's something in life that's so important to do. Recognize the good times, but also be aware of the sort of lack of attachment to the past.
Yeah, be proud of it, move on, like, don't like stress yourself about trying to make things work. It just didn't feel right to try and make it work, so we just thought we'd shake hands. Wow, loud.
Are these all your fans?
These are all the fans, yeah. I'll sign autographs later, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. They're loving it, clapping
Thank
and everything.
You.
I think that's because they saw you on Dance on Ice.
They may be clapping me.
There you go. Let's just make a point.
Thank you. Yeah. They don't recognise me with my skates on, but. But yeah, then when I was in the band, we did all these radio tours, and I remember doing all these interviews, thinking I would love to be doing that, because it looks so much fun. And when we came out of the band, I was just thought, do you know what? I'm going to go for it and see where I can get to with it. And luckily, it's worked out how it has. So I'm now doing what I thought I wanted to be doing all that time ago.
That's incredible. Recently,
yes. That's
changed quite significantly. You've gone from early mornings on the breakfast show to having your own show.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
It is. Listen, I got this opportunity over 6 years ago. I was doing overnights at Capital, which was 1 till 4 in the morning.
That's disgusting.
It was gross. But what made it worse is that a couple of times in that week, I was also doing breakfast. So I was doing 1 till 4 in the morning, twice a week, 3 times a week doing breakfast, which was 6 till 10. So I'd have to sleep in the office at Global for about an hour and then sort of do the breakfast show. And then it sort of kept on happening every week. And it got to a point where my manager at the time was like, listen, you just want to do breakfast full time? And I was like, yeah, of course, I'd love to.
Unreal.
So yeah, I did 6 years basically of getting up at 4 a.m. every morning. And now, like beginning of this year in January, I've got this opportunity to go and do my own show that came about. And I remember speaking to Roman about it and being like, look, what do you think? Because obviously I've done this show with you for 6 years. And he was like, mate, you just got to go. Remember why you started at Capital in the first place? It was all for you. It's like you come on this journey with me kind of thing, but like you need to do it for yourself now. And I thought, do you know what? This year is about me. And I've never had a year in my life that I can honestly say I've just put so much time into myself and sort of like wanting to be better at my job and, you know, making myself feel better in the gym. And I don't know, I've just really like put a lot of time into myself, and I'm so pleased I have, because I feel great for it. You know,
you can really feel like an oozing zest coming off you. When you walked in to the hotel to meet us just before this podcast, I only met you last year, but the way in which you hold and conduct yourself, you're a totally different person.
Yeah.
A year later.
Like that. I really do, like, for all the good reasons. And I get so many messages online because I've sort of shared my journey from the beginning of this year to where I am now.
Right, let's tap into that.
Okay, go on, yeah.
Because, well, first of all, I think we need to give a nod to Roman as a friend and a colleague for being somebody to lift you up.
Absolutely.
That's incredible and such a quality that needs to be celebrated.
Absolutely,
more.
Supportive friends, especially in this industry, you know.
It can be cutthroat.
Yeah, there's not many. And he was like my brother, working with him every day, and I still speak to him every week, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, we still catch up, and I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to work with him, and I've learned so much from him that I can now take on to do, you know, what I want to be doing,
all
you know?
All of the other things. So as a radio DJ, your lifestyle of extremely early mornings, very late nights, being in demand, pulled in different directions for events and appearances, it's not exactly conducive to a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I didn't realise how much I struggled with the healthy lifestyle. It's only now when I look back at sort of the times that I did on radio and how I felt doing the breakfast show in the morning, you know, getting up at 4 a.m. every day, and that was the sort of peak of my day. I always think in my head now, you've got to have peaks in your day. One of them's when I go to the gym, one of them's when I go to work. Where when I was doing the breakfast show, it was just work in the morning that was the peak, and then throughout the rest of the day, it was just decline. Ooh. And I'd get home, and you know what happens, you get home, you feel jet lagged, sit down, it's done, your day's done. So I sort of look back at it now and go, I don't know how I would have had any more energy to do anything else. Where now my sort of times have changed, and I had to make sure that I could make this work for me. Yeah. So, you know, I'm lucky that I finish at 1 a.m. in the morning, I get up, I have a good sleep, I get up about 9:30, and then I've got energy that I never used to have. And that's why I wanted to do something with it, you know? I can make it work as a healthy lifestyle, it's just turning my clock around.
So how did you apply yourself and make that decision to make this drastic change that we've seen physically and mentally in the way you conduct yourself?
I think I had a goal. At the end of June, I gave myself 6 months, because that's when, you know, my birthday is, to just change my life. Like, change how I feel, my mindset, physically change how I look. And I guess I was sort of gifted with this new job at the beginning of the year that just felt like the right time to do it. And I've always wanted to do what I've done now. I've always wanted to do it, but I've just never had the motivation to. And I think, you know, when people go, oh, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? It's like, you do it because you know the time's right to do it. Like, I've always wanted to do what I've done now, and I want to continue to do what I've done. But it's so easy to say, oh, you just got to do it. You can't. You need to be in the right frame of mind. And it's only now that I know that, you know?
And what do you think it was, other than this one new opportunity within work, that spurred that on? Because I think it's quite hard to find the motivation, because it's very easy to say, I'll start tomorrow. Oh, it's fine. Fine. I've got 6 months.
Yes.
I'll do it in a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not possible. So to be able to apply yourself for such a long period of time, you're not just making changes, you've made lifestyle changes.
Yeah. This is the first sort of time that I've ever done something in terms of, you know, fitness and had a goal. So I think that was my motivation, like just working towards this goal every single day. And, you know, it's nice in the summer because you look back and you go, oh, I'm so pleased that I worked out in January when it was cold, dark, wet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, you know, in the summer you feel a bit better for it, the sun's out and you feel like you want to sort of, you know, be active and all this sort of stuff. I'm just so pleased that I kept to my word of starting in January, having a goal at the end of June. And I don't know, I think at the start the goal was the motivation, but then during the process it was seeing progression, it was seeing change in my body, and it was seeing change in like my mentality and pushing myself. And that to me was the best motivation I could have, just seeing progression in me, you know?
That's so mega to hear. It's such a big change. But what were the incremental changes you've actually taken on board to reach this new goal? Let's not forget to mention that it is your 30th birthday.
Yes.
On Friday.
Happy it is. Birthday, thank Sonny. You very much. Thank you. Yeah, I guess that was the goal. But the changes that I've made, I mean, I realise how much I used to eat now, looking back.
Go on, divulge, I'll join you.
It's one of those ones, isn't it? It's like, you know, grew up in, you know, a household where you get given a portion, you eat it. Like, I'm just brought up, you get given food, you eat it. Yeah. Where now I'm like, it's not a challenge. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, you know when you're full, but I just carry on eating. I can just honestly, even now, carry on eating. But now I've learnt where the point is, where I'm like, I'm actually full up here. I'm actually really fulfilled with my meal, but I don't need to carry on eating.
That's such a huge learning, and I think something that's very hard to achieve. What have you changed then within your diet? Is it the type of food or is it purely the amount?
It's type of food. I mean, my trainer Jay always said to me, eat a bit of meat. Obviously, if you eat meat, like, make sure you get your protein in, have, you know, meat, greens. He said, like, if you've got more greens on your plate than anything else, that's great. So I've been eating so many more vegetables that I would never eat, Which is great. I mean, I've cut out sugar. I like from my coffees. I'm a coffee guy. I love a coffee in the morning or two. So I've cut out sugar out of that, which I think actually changed so quick. Like, it was quite a drastic change from having sugar every morning. I'd have like two in one coffee.
Wow.
So if I'm having two coffees, yeah, that's 4 teaspoons of sugar,
yeah,
every morning. And it's like, that all adds up. And actually, I don't miss it at all.
Wow.
But it's just going, oh yeah, actually, that's quite a lot.
And that over a week.
Yeah.
Over
a month.
Imagine that in a month, seeing all the sugar piled up.
Oh my God, that's actually quite scary,
yeah,
isn't it?
But I don't miss it, and I don't feel like it's like I'm lacking it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's part of my day. It's just get up, I do have a coffee, just don't have sugar in it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And how about when you're now active on the go, you're at events, you're DJing, you are late night, you're hosting here and there. How have you managed to take that mindset into sort of festival food,
yeah,
and food on the go? Because I think a lot of people struggle, myself included.
Yeah.
It's not easy,
it's not.
And it's a total mindset switch.
Yeah.
You don't just eat all of the catering. You have to work around it with what you've got.
Absolutely. I think, do you know what? That's one massive thing that I've learned throughout of all of this, is that there is actually such good things that you can have that aren't, I don't know, obviously at the beginning I was massively calorie tracking.
Yeah.
And I was sort of looking at everything that I was putting into my body. I mean, put it this way, if last year I told you that I was taking a protein shake to work, just to sort of fill me up a bit more, that I don't need to eat a bar, I could have just a protein shake and it would still sort of fill,
yeah,
me up until I get back up in the morning and have breakfast. But it's just learning those things that do fill you up, and I don't know. You know, there's great things about nowadays. I don't know where you stand on all these brands that I could say, but like, you know, there's ready-to-go protein shakes and full meals like a Huel that I've been having that they fulfill me, and I'm getting like all my vitamins out of it and all that sort of stuff, you know? So
Sonny's on the shakes and the greens.
Look shakes, greens, proteins, do you know what I mean?
And are we likely to see you in the kitchen more often? Has that changed at all?
So I absolutely love cooking. Like when I was at school, I did like, I even did a catering GCSE.
No way.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's not even food tech, this is catering.
I had no idea,
yeah.
I would have loved that.
Which is terrible though, because if I knew that back in the day, if there was air fryers back in the catering days, in my GCSEs, I would have banged it. It would have been so good. But yeah, I do love cooking, and I've just learned how to, I guess, make foods that actually fuels my body now, but I also enjoy it. Like, I can't eat food that is bland just to fuel my body. I need flavours, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Variety. Like, this time of year is easy for me. It's like I can happily eat salads and hot meat and feel good eating,
yeah,
it. But in the winter, you want them sort of like
bit
warm
stodge
meals, bit of stodge. And
yeah,
I guess it's finding what stodge works for you that is, you know. I don't know, I don't feel like I've massively cut out anything that I used to eat. I've just sort of, I'm just eating less, but not starving. Like, I'm just sort of now know when I'm full and content and full up. Where before, I told you, I just eat, honestly, if I've got an Indian takeaway, I would eat everything that I've ordered.
Oh, I still do now.
Yeah, but people like put it in the fridge for the next day.
Yeah.
I now do that, but before I it was a challenge. I had to eat all of it. And then I'd sit there and go, oh, I'm so full up, or I feel horrible. Well, of course, I've just eaten about 5 people's worth of food.
You know what's interesting? Something I've noticed recently. So in the workplace, at an event or a launch, and then you have the catering.
Yeah.
You're like, some people, myself included, sometimes, right, it's balance. You can't be perfect all the time. You just go too hard on the catering.
Yeah.
And then you're so full, you're so slumpish, you have no energy, and you're worse off for it.
Absolutely.
There's this mindset of you must eat for fuel to have energy, when
yeah,
actually it can be the total opposite and counterbalance that. But talk to me a little bit about your wellness regime, because changing that and introducing that as well when it comes to gym, it's not always easy to get up and be motivated to push, to lift more.
Yeah, I think it's changed. This is the great thing about it, and I think it's the great thing about anyone that sort of goes to the gym or whatever. It just changes, and your goals change, your motivation changes. My sort of regime at the beginning of the year wasn't like it is now. You know, I find myself getting up now with more energy than what I was in January. So, yeah. You know, I can get up, I can go straight to the gym. It's like an 11 a.m. session. I do an hour of like weights, and then I sort of, you know, would go home, have lunch, but in the evening before I go to work, I would do a bit of cardio. And the reason why I do cardio is obviously because it's cardio and it sort of, you know, burns fat and all that sort of stuff. But it also, when I go to work, it makes me feel so switched on.
Yeah, it's uplifting.
And I feel so focused and I feel energised, which you wouldn't think. And no. Back in the day, I would never have thought, oh, if I work out, I feel like energised. What? I'm losing energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm gaining it because I've got more to give. And I think actually, that's another thing that I've learned and what I love about what I've done is that I've got so much more energy now for like people around me and my loved ones. And I never thought I could have any more to give until you sort of got it to give.
So before, early mornings, the late nights, you're giving, giving, giving. You're giving so much of your energy. How do you protect that?
I think I struggled protecting it when I was doing obviously the breakfast show, because it's that thing, you know, when you get home, no one wants to spend time with you because I'm so moody, I'm so miserable, I'm so tired, and I've got nothing to give. So that's how I protected my energy, because I used to go to work and give everything that I had every morning. And it just drained you for the rest of the day. But I think I've learned how to sort of spread out my energy now.
Yeah.
You know, I spread it out in the gym, I spread it out with my family, my girlfriend, my, you know, my work as well. I feel like I've got an equal amount of energy to give.
I like the idea of the two peaks within the day.
Yeah, and I've only learnt that again this year, of having that peak. You know, go to work, that's your peak, but where's your next peak? What else fulfills you in the day? So it's not just work that's your purpose, you know?
Yeah, the sole driver. It can be so easy to be all consumed by work. And yesterday, for example, my family are over and I'm like, I need a day with them.
Yeah.
Like everything else is cut off, and it's, you have to find that balance. But as a freelancer, I think, or in our industry in general, it's tough because you do get pulled in different directions.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tough. And I think it's just learning, I guess, and just being, it's this whole wellness thing, isn't it? It's like, you've got to give yourself a break as well. It's like, it's great what I've done, but I know my body and I know when I need to like, share my time with, you know, not going to the gym one day because I don't feel great, but I know that I'll feel great doing something else, like seeing my nephew or my mum, or do you know what I mean? And it's, I think that's what's so important.
Do you think this new way of life could become obsessive? Do you think you could take it too far?
I think you can take it too far. You do become a bit obsessed. I mean, starting out, I told you, I don't wear my Apple Watch anymore. I was constantly tracking steps, which I think is a good thing to do, you know. I think it's a good thing to do, but now I know when I'm sort of, I don't know, because I've done it so much at the beginning of the year, I now know what I should be doing and how I should be feeling by a certain point of the day.
Okay, that's very intuitive.
Yeah, and I worry that I'm sort of just constantly looking at my calories that I've burnt and my steps that I'm doing. I now know that if I go, even what I eat and what I drink, I know that if I drink a coffee that's got semi-skim milk in and no sugar, that's probably about 47 to 50 calories, right?
Yeah.
So this is why I don't want to track it, because I've become obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So I know that if I have two coffees in the morning, that's about 100 calories worth of coffee, right? So then I go to the gym, probably burn about 300 to 400 calories doing weights. Then I go home and probably do about half an hour to an hour on the bike, which is anything between, what, 350 and 800 in an hour. And then I know that I'm saying.
I know, churning.
In my head now.
Yeah, you're churning the through the calories.
Yeah, and it's just like, then I know what to eat, and I sort of know now what's in a, you know, a breast of chicken calories or a, so I just track it in my head now and not become too obsessed
loose,
with my
fluid.
Phone or my, yeah.
The balance, yeah. I like it. Very, very important message that. For anyone that's looking to take on a wellness journey like yours, do you have any advice? Because I'm imagining now, you know, you've posted a few pictures on your Instagram and there's a huge appreciation of what you've achieved and people love that and it's inspirational. But what would be your advice to anyone that wants to make that change?
I think it's hard because I've always wanted to do what I've done now. I've just never had the right time and been in the right frame of mind to do it. So I think that anyone that's looking to start out, it's working out when the right time is for you, and you've got to want to do it firstly. There's just no other way about it, because it's not easy.
Yeah.
And if it was easy, then everyone would do it, right? So I guess it's one, that. Two, I know that everyone says this, but it's so vital and it's so true, and it's still something that I'm learning now, that consistency is literally the only way that you're going to get to where you want to get to. Like, just bear in mind, I've been doing it for 6 months. You know, I can say flat out, like, really trying hard, but I can hand on heart say I've been consistent with it, and I will have to continue to be consistent with it, because if I'm not, you just go back to square one, because I don't think, you know, mentally you'll allow yourself to get to that point, because you see the progression and you see how it makes you feel. You're looking at your steps.
I'm not. I'm just making sure I've not walked you too far.
Well, too far? I'm all puffed out. You're not here. I'm sweating. I think just trust. Have a goal. That's the only thing that's got me through all of this. It's just knowing where I wanted to be and just having the goal and working towards it. And it might seem far away, but I promise you, the little steps keep you going. The little bits of progression that might not be every day, they might not be every week, but it'll be one day. I woke up one day, I was on FaceTime to my girlfriend, and she went, "Have you got abs?" And I looked at myself in the mirror, I was like, I think I've seen an ab. Like, just the one. And that day was like, for me, just seeing one singular ab, right?
One, was it?
I
just
swear to you,
a giant, yeah, one in the middle.
Just one singular ab, just to me, was like, I can't wait to go back into the gym now. And if anyone saw it, they'd go,
yeah.
But that's the mindset, and that's the progression, those little things that you notice about your body. And another thing, I have been taking non-stop pictures, because you see these pictures of like, this is where I started and this is the end. But I can honestly go through my phone and show you pictures from maybe every week that I've taken. Not because I think I look good, just because I wanted to see the progression maybe from week 3 or 4 to week 8. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you can look back and go, oh, my body has changed.
Yeah.
So I think that's helped as well.
But little incremental steps are the key.
They keep you going, you know?
My question is, you are 30 on Friday.
Yeah.
You are going to Ibiza.
Yes.
How are you going to proceed with this desired lifestyle change? Do you think it's going to be easy?
I'm going to be honest, in Ibiza it's going to go out the window, because this was my goal. This is the reason why I started doing what I did in January, because I wanted to be able to go Ibiza and just feel good, right? But it's got to go out the window, because I started doing this and I honestly can say to everyone, it's about balance. Every weekend I've probably gone out since January. Gone mad. I've changed what I drink. You know, I used to love a beer. I don't drink beer anymore as much.
Are you a skinny bitch type now?
I am a skinny bitch. Well, I've sort of just changed that. I love vodka, and I drink it with, like, even if it's, you know, a lime soda or a...
Have you tried the Paloma?
No.
Very good.
Is it?
Vodka, pink grapefruit. Great.
That sounds great.
It's great.
And that sounds refreshing.
It tastes slightly better than a skinny bitch.
Do they do that around here? Can we go and get one?
They do. Oh, maybe we should go and get one after balance, right? A little walk.
Yeah. Sounds very refreshing. but yeah, it's about balance. So I do want to continue what I'm doing. Maybe I won't go too hard in the gym once I get back from Ibiza. Like, you know, again, it's freeing up your time, spending it with other people. And yeah, I'm just conscious now, and I never used to be. And I love how it makes me feel. Even after a weekend on a Monday, I'm like, I can't wait to get back in the gym. Just because them 2 days off, I'm just like, oh, I feel like I missed something. That feeling of, I don't know, you know, when you come out of a gym, it's that feeling of just like,
that high.
Feel, it's a high.
It's a euphoric.
It really is.
Achievement,
and
isn't it?
It's something that I never thought I would have.
For me, I really see it as it's like my time, and this is for me, and now I'm on cloud 9. I don't think you ever, ever regret a workout.
No, and I'm not saying it should be part of your morning routine or day routine, like you're brushing your teeth, but I definitely think there should be time for people that they do schedule it into their thing, and it is part of their routine, because even if you do it once, twice a week, that feeling of once you've come out is just the best feeling ever. You've done something for you, you know?
You've queued yourself up very nicely, considering we are on the Monday Mile podcast, and this is released every Monday at 1 a.m.
Nice.
In the morning.
Good.
For the late night, early morning listeners, So, what is your relationship like with Monday?
Monday for me used to be a bit of, it's again, my life changed drastically this year in terms of hours that I'm doing and all that sort of stuff. But I can, you know, last year my Mondays were, it's Monday, I've got to get up at 4 a.m. So you can imagine how I felt about Mondays. But once I went to work, I loved it. I love work, like I genuinely do. But it's that thing on a Sunday where you're like, 4 a.m. alarm, I can't bear it. But now, my Mondays have changed. I mean, I still got an alarm, it's just not at 4, it's at 9. So I'm always now grateful for a later alarm, even though to some people it might not even be late or whatever. But I'm just grateful now that I know the difference from a 4 a.m. alarm to a 9 a.m. one, put it that way. So I'm just grateful for it.
It definitely sounds slightly nicer and a lot more approachable. If you had any life mottos or quotes to say with our listeners looking to follow a career path like yours, it's definitely not the easiest field to get into.
Yeah.
What would your message be?
I think the message would be, and I think you would agree with this, you know, from where you've come from to where you are now, the easiest thing you can do in this industry is give up. And that's what you just can't do. It's because the beauty of this industry is that, you know, you might have a bad day today, but then tomorrow you might get an email that could change your life. You know, I mean, you know, I'd briefly touch on it, but when I did Dancing on Ice, for instance, right, that came about in the most random way. On a Friday night, I got a call from a manager to say, Dancing on Ice are looking for the last contestant. Do you want to audition for it? I was like, well, when is it? Can I think about it? They were like, it's on Monday morning. I was like, right, so I've got the weekend and then I've just got to go to this audition on Monday morning. And that came about on a Friday night. Monday I went to the audition. By the Thursday, I signed up to do the show and then went on to win it. And it's like, it's just a classic case of anything can happen at any point. You know, I do believe that you can do loads of things to put yourself in those positions, which I would say that I've done. You know, I've been proactive and made sure that everything I do, I want to do it to a real good standard, you know? Yeah. But yeah, it's just don't give up, because literally I just feel like we're in a world where anything can happen.
It's quite
exciting.
You can
rather look at that and go, you can rather look at it and go, that's really exciting. Or people look at it and go, that terrifies me, because I want to know what I'm going to be doing. But that's what I do love about it. I just love that anything can genuinely happen.
Like us walking in a park right by the Mall. King's just set the band off.
Oh, Charlesy?
Yeah, Charlesy's
over there.
You know Charlesy?
Yeah, mate.
Oh,
yeah.
You've got a ladybug on your neck.
Is that
That's got to be good luck.
Is it?
I reckon.
See, anything can happen.
Yeah, it had like 6 dots on it. That's a good
one. Is it poisonous?
No, he's done, he's out. it is too true. And I think for me, it keeps you on your toes, right?
Yeah.
The direction can change at any point. Just quickly, Dancing on Ice, do you think there is any element of that process and the training that you've taken out of that and applied to your training now?
Yes. I would say straight off the bat, mindset. Dancing on Ice proved to me you can start terrible at something.
We started at the bottom, now we're here.
Exactly, right? So you start terrible at something, and then if you consistently do something, which is what we spoke about earlier, you can get really good at it. And that to me proved that show that I can start doing what I'm doing this year and get good at doing something and feel good at doing something. So that mindset was the best thing to ever come from that show. Not even winning it, but it's lovely having a trophy at home.
Yeah.
But
where'd you keep it?
It's just in the living room.
Is it?
Well, it's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be on... I can't have it in a downstairs toilet.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, it's got to be, like, on parade.
Yeah, pride position.
Absolutely,
sure.
Yeah.
But Sonny Jay, it has been such a pleasure walking, talking, and filling your infectious energy.
Thank you.
You're vibing.
That. We're vibing. Yeah, thank you.
Monday Mile listeners, it's a wrap. I really, really hope you enjoyed that one with Sonny Jay. So, so much to take away from that. We've had all sorts of people on this podcast, from athletes to doctors to CEOs. But for me, Sonny, your journey is so relatable. And I hope that people listening to this podcast can come away after they've walked,
yeah,
whilst listening and feel inspired. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Hit the subscribe button and we will see you back next week. It's a wrap!